Most of us know the words to the angel's song by heart. In fact, many of us can sing the first part of it, can say the first part of it in Latin. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. This simple song declares three powerful truths. Glory to God in the highest is a call to praise. The Greek word doxa, our word doxology, the doxology comes from the Greek doxa. And of course, we sing the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. And so when the angels sang glory to God in the highest, they were uttering high praise to our God. Years ago, at least 20 years ago, I read a book entitled The Power of Praise. And it was an interesting book, and I can't remember who wrote it, so I did a Google search and still don't know who wrote it. Apparently, it's no longer in print. But I found that title, The Power of Praise, in all sorts of places, on blogs and other things on the internet. And of all places, I found an article in WebMD entitled The Power of Praise. I thought that was interesting that WebMD, which is a secular site, would have an article on The Power of Praise by Gretchen Rubin. Well, then I went to it and I found that it was calling us to praise one another within our relationships. And actually, Gretchen gives seven good ideas for how to praise one another. Be specific, never offer praise, and then ask for a favor. How many of you have prayed that way? Oh, God, I love you, I love you, I love you. By the way, look for something less obvious to praise. Praise people behind their backs. When we speak about people behind their backs, it's not often praise, is it? Match the quality of the praise to the difficulty of the task. Remember the negativity bias. In other words, you know, we just all see what's wrong first. And we just need to be aware of that, that we'll look at something and we'll immediately focus on what's wrong rather than what's right. And then finally, praise the everyday as well as the exceptional. Well, while this was written to encourage us to praise one another, to praise our children, to praise one another in all of our human relationships, I find these are really excellent suggestions for how we praise God. You know, if you look for the positive in your children or in your spouse or in your neighbor and let them know how much you appreciate that, you know, what does it do? It binds that relationship together. Have you noticed that? That you simply can't say nice things about someone without feeling really kindly toward that person. And that's the power of praise with our God as well. When we make a habit of praising our God, being specific about it, recognizing the great things that our God has done, it really draws us into a closer, more intimate, loving relationship with the living God. And so, first of all, the angel's song challenges us to praise God in the highest. And then next, it's a call to pray for peace. Now, in light of recent events, I really struggled with this. You know, I found that while I didn't react immediately to what happened in Sandy Hook with a lot of anger and so on and so forth, this week I had kind of a latent dose of anger. And as I'm working on this, you know, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, I thought, yeah, right. And then I did a little research, and I found that since 3600 BC, that's 5612 years ago, in the last 5612 years, the world has experienced 14,531 wars. In the last 5612 years, we've only had 292 years where the world was at peace. And so when I hear someone say, well, the solution to our problem is we just need to give more guns to the good guys, I realize we've tried that 14,531 times. And hundreds of millions of lives have been lost in that period where we tried to be at peace with one another using the ways of the world. I think we need to look to Jesus. I'm an old hippie, and we used to sing, give peace a chance. And I don't think we've ever given Jesus a chance. You know, one of the scriptures that we celebrate during the Christmas season is Isaiah's statement that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus said to his disciples as he gathered with them in the upper room, he said, peace I give to you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives it do I give you. So don't worry and don't be afraid. Jesus said, how blessed are the peacemakers. And of course, that has been a theme within our particular Anabaptist faith, that we've emphasized peacemaking is something that's important to us. And I think that in spite of in spite of the likelihood of the world experiencing peace anytime soon, I think we followers of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, need to be a faithful remnant who will hold on to the hope of peace on earth. Every now and then you see it kind of stirring in the lives of God's people. I read just this week a story about a guy by the name of Jake DeShazer. Jake was on a bombing run over Tokyo during World War II, and he was shot down and captured and spent the next 4 years in a prisoner of war camp in Japan. He was brutalized and really had a tough life. He asked for something to read, and 16 months after his first request for something to read, he got a copy of a Bible, and he read the Bible, and he read in it about Jesus, and he committed his life to Jesus, and he became a Christian. The war was over, he was released from prison camp, he went home and returned to Japan as a Christian missionary. And he wrote his story about how he had come to Christ through reading Christ's story in the Gospels. Well, there was another fella in Japan, his name is Matsuo Fuchida. Matsuo Fuchida led the first squadron of planes that went on the bombing raid over Pearl Harbor. And after the war, Matsuo went back to his work in Japan, and he got a hold of this story that Jake DeShazer had written about accepting Christ in prisoner of war camp. And Matsuo Fuchida became a believer as well. Well, there's a third a character in this story. His name is Joe Morgan, not the second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds. Joe was on the ground when Matsuo flew his plane over Pearl Harbor on that bombing raid. He felt the call to ministry, but when the war broke out, he felt that it was important for him to enlist. And so he enlisted. He was on the ground, and he was filled with hatred for Japanese and other Asians because of that event. And we could, I don't have any trouble imagining how that could take place. It takes an act of God to break us loose from our prejudices and our bitterness and our hatred. Well, Joe, after the war, went back to the States, went to seminary, and became a pastor and took a church in Hawaii. But he still had this bitterness this hatred for the Japanese. And between a third and a half of the population of Hawaii is Japanese rather than Hawaiian. So it was pretty tough to minister in a place where you hate many of the people. Well, one night a friend of his said, "Hey, there's this guy coming to the United Methodist Church to speak. How about coming with me?" It was Matsuo Fuchida. And Matsuo told his story about how he had led the raid over Pearl Harbor and how he had come to Christ through reading the testimony of an American who had been shot down on a bombing raid over Tokyo. And Joe Morgan went and confronted Matsuo that night. He was angry. And Matsuo stood there and listened, and he said, "I'm sorry. Would you forgive me?" And in that instant, Joe was overcome with this sense of forgiveness that exploded this hatred and animosity and bitterness from his soul. And he could not, after reconciling that relationship with his enemy, he could no longer hate anyone. Hey, let's give Jesus a chance. Let those of us who are faithful followers of Jesus Christ pursue, seek peace, and pursue it, as James, the brother of Jesus, said. There's a third part to the angel's song, and that is, in addition to peace on earth, there is goodwill among men. You know, one of the really neat things about the Christmas season is these acts of kindness that just everybody does. You just hear stories all over the place. I mean, even the most sort of reprobate kind of personalities, you know, make trips to Philadelphia with their vans loaded with clothing to give to the homeless and do that kind of thing. And I think there is kind of a spirit of Christmas that we talk about that is a spirit of generosity, and it's a spirit of giving, and it's at the heart of what Christmas is all about. Unfortunately, it tends, this spirit of giving tends to end a couple of days after Christmas. Let me give an example. I helped plant a church in Lebanon, PA. And the first 5 or 6 years, we decided that rather than having a Christmas Eve service, we would go out and we would meet hurting people and provide ministry for them. So we went to, if you know Lebanon, America's House, which is a lot of ex-vets who suffer from the ravages of war and really have physical and emotional problems, and went to some nursing homes, and went also to some bars. And that was my idea, by the way, that we go to bars. Because as I thought about it, I thought, you know, who would go to a bar on Christmas Eve? Someone who doesn't have any place else to go. And I found that, in fact, that was the truth. We went to, I'm going to tell you the name of this bar because I do not recommend this bar. It's the Silver Dollar Bar on North 9th Street in Lebanon. Avoid that place at all costs. And the Liberty Bar also is one you don't want to go to. We went into the Silver Dollar Bar that first night. I mean, the picture is still etched in my memory. There were 5 poor souls sitting there who were almost comatose. I thought at first that they were in a drunken stupor. It became clear they hadn't had too much to drink. They were just deeply sad and depressed, in a state of despair. And these happy, happy Christians come in, you know. We want to sing some Christmas carols, and we had packed up cookies, home-baked Christmas cookies, and we went in, and you know, I was the leader, and I said, "Okay, folks, let's sing some Christmas carols. Oh, come all ye..." And those five sat there at the bar and didn't move. And so then we went from that to joy to the world. And I think I saw someone blink during joy to the world. And then we got to the third carol, and I actually saw one fellow who participated. And we got to the fourth carol, and all five of these guys were singing, not with a whole lot of enthusiasm. But when we got to the fifth carol, you would have thought you were at a church party. I mean, they sang with such enthusiasm, and they hugged us, and they welcomed us, and they thanked us, and they tried to take up a collection for us. And we said, no, we're here to serve you. We don't need to be served. We don't want you to serve us. And it was for the next 6 years in a row, that was a place that I never missed on Christmas Eve. But now here's my confession. The only time I've ever gone to the Silver Dollar Bar on North 9th Street in Lebanon is on Christmas Eve. It was, you know, part of that kind of spirit of Christmas, you know, that sort of token gesture that we make at this time of year. And having made my token gesture to these poor souls who gathered there, I was good for another year. But they weren't. And so we need to hold on to the Spirit of Jesus, who calls us to bring about peace on earth and goodwill among men and women, so that all of those who live on earth might experience in some real way God's favor. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men and women. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this gift that you've given us. The gift of love, the gift of life, abundant life. And we treasure it. And we do work at sharing it with others. And not only on Christmas Eve. But Lord, we need your help. We need to... for you to encourage us day by day to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ, to be world changers, peacemakers, to work at goodwill with our neighbors and with our enemies. And so help us to take seriously the gift of your Son, Jesus, that we might be followers of Jesus, not just during Christmas time, not just on Sunday, but throughout the year. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. All of God's people said, amen. Let's rise to our feet and sing the first and the last verse of this next hymn, Angels We Have Heard on High, and then we'll proceed into communion.